Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the book of Ezra. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the opposition to the rebuilding of the temple as we pick up in Ezra, chapter 4, verse 4. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith. Today's lesson.
And so the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. It really indicates that their heart wasn't in serving or worshiping God or helping them. The moment that their help is rejected, they turn against them and seek to hinder the building of the temple. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So during this period of time, and this Darius is not the Darius that we dealt with earlier. This is a second one whose name was Darius, and he came along later in history. So during this period of time, there was the effort to hinder. Now, we have what is actually a misconception, I think, in that we oftentimes believe if I'm serving the Lord and doing my best to serve the Lord, then everything ought to be easy and smooth. There ought not to be any problems. But you can be sure if you're on the right track, Satan is going to try to throw the switch. And if things are really going smooth and there are no problems and things are just rolling along and all, then you better examine the road you're on. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I hate that promise. But it nonetheless is a statement of the scripture. It is not easy to live the Christian life. The Christian life is not without its difficulties. It's not without its hindrances. You can be sure the moment that you make a real commitment to follow Jesus Christ, there are going to be all kinds of stumbling blocks placed in the road. Satan is going to try to detour you from that commitment. He's going to try to hinder the work of God in your life or the work that you seek to do for God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against these spiritual entities and forces. And Satan will always seek to hinder the work of God. And so we find that the people of the land sought then to hinder the work. They hired the counselors to frustrate the purposes during the reign of Cyrus all the way until the reign of Darius. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, now this is not the husband of Esther, which we will get to when we study the book of Esther, but this is the Cambyses of secular history. And he reigned from 529 to about 521. So in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam and Midradath and Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Now, this Artaxerxes is called in secular history Pseudo-Smerdis. pseudo because he was a usurper to the throne who followed the Cambyses, and he took over the throne of Persia, but reigned for only a period of 10 months. Very short-lived reign, and was succeeded then by Darius, who we will come to in chapter 6. And so during this time of this Artaxerxes, and that is not the Artaxerxes that we'll get to when we get to the book of Nehemiah, who gave the commandment to Nehemiah to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. But this is, in secular history, this guy Smerdis. And so during the reign of Smerdis, they wrote this letter. And this basically is the essence of the letter. They said, all of these groups that have inhabited this land, and we get a bunch of names here that I'm not going to try and mess with in verse 9, but these were the names of the ethnic groups that dwelt in the land that had come in and populated the area at the time of the Assyrian Empire, and their names describe the ethnic area that they had come from and their nationalities. And these nations or these people, along with the rest of the nations, whom the great and noble Asnapper brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side of the river and at such a time, this is the copy of the letter, verse 11, that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. Thy servants, the men on this side of the river, probably meaning the river Euphrates, at such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from you to us are come to Jerusalem, and they are building the rebellious and the bad city, and they have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Now, there is nothing that we know of from Scripture to indicate that they had started work on the walls. However, it is quite possible that they did. Nehemiah was the one that was commanded to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Zerubbabel and Joshua came with Ezra with orders to restore the temple, to rebuild the temple. That's what Cyrus felt that his mission was, is the helping of the rebuilding of the temple. And so they said they've actually started to build the walls and joined together the walls. Now, be it known to the king that if this city is built and they build the walls again, then they will cease paying the tribute, their taxes, the customs, the tolls, so that the king's revenue is in danger. You're about to lose out on money that would be forthcoming. And now they say, because we have maintenance from the king's palace. In other words, we've been set here as governors to oversee this, and we are paid by the king to take care of the king's business and to protect the king's business. We have maintenance from the king's palace. It was not right for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent this message to certify to the king the things that are going on. So they come off as men who are concerned for the king's welfare. We're hired by you, we're paid by you, and we felt it was necessary to write to you and warn you about these things because we see a danger developing. If they build the walls, they're going to rebel, and it's going to be bad news. Now we suggest that you search the book of the records of your fathers, and you will find in the history books the fact that these people are a rebellious people, and they're hurtful unto kings and provinces, and they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause the city was destroyed. True, if he searches the records, he'll find that after Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city of Jerusalem, three different times they rebelled against the Babylonians until Nebuchadnezzar finally, in the last siege of Jerusalem, destroyed the city. He destroyed the temple. He broke down the walls of the city, broke down the houses, just left the city a rubble. The first two times, he just took captives and he took treasure. But the last time, because they continued to rebel, he just destroyed the place. So if he searches the history books, he's going to find that they are correct in this assertion. Therefore, we certify the king that if this city is built again and they set up the walls, you're going to be cut off on this side of the river. I mean, these guys are going to lead in a rebellion and you're going to lose this big chunk of your province. So the king sent an answer to Rehum, the chancellor, and to Shimshai, the scribe. The word chancellor there is the governor. Rehum was the one who sent the letter, and Shimshai, his scribe. And to the rest of the companions that dwell in Samaria, unto the rest beyond the river, peace at such a time. Now the letter which you sent to us has been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and they searched. And it is found that this city of old time has made insurrection against kings. Rebellion and sedition have been made within this city. There have been mighty kings also who reigned over Jerusalem. And this probably is a reference to David and Solomon's reigns. For they have ruled over all of the countries beyond the river, that is on that side of the Euphrates. And both under David and Solomon's reign, the extension of the kingdom was all the way to the river Euphrates, and the peoples paid their toll or tribute unto David and Solomon. So, hey, I've studied the record. You're right. So give now the commandment to cause these men to cease, that this city be not built until you get another commandment from me. And so don't let them do anything till you hear from me. And take heed now that you fail not to do this, for why should damage grow to the hurt of the king? So this fellow Smerdis sent a cease and desist order. They put up a red tag, and they ordered the building of the city to cease. But notice, it was the city. Cease building the city. So when this copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and by force they caused them to cease building. And so the work was ceased on the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. It ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. Now, as I said, Smerdis only reigned for 10 months. And then he was deposed, and Darius became the king over Persia. And in the second year of the reign of Darius, we find a change of decree, and so the work only ceased for a little over a year. And then the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. It would be to your benefit. In conjunction with the reading of the book of Ezra, you'll be helped immensely if you'll read the book of Haggai, which is only two chapters, and also the book of Zechariah, because they were prophets at this same period of history, and their prophecies relate to these things. Now they are mentioned here that Haggai and Zechariah prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God. And Zechariah chapter 1 tells us, in the first chapter of Haggai, it says, "Is it time for you, O Israel, to dwell in your sealed houses, and the house of the Lord lays desolate?" Now, take a look at what's going on. You're planting a lot of seed, but you're reaping small crops. There's a drought that's going on. God is seeking to get your attention. You are trying to gather money, but you put it into your purse, but the purse has holes in it. Your money isn't going very far. You're running into all kinds of difficulties. And Haggai said, the reason is you have turned from the work of building the house of the Lord, and you're thinking of yourself first rather than God first, and putting yourself first above God and your personal needs above the Lord. God's just let you experience a real spiritual drought in your own lives. So you gather in a lot, but you really have nothing. You're short. And Haggai was encouraging the people to get back and to finish the building of the house of God. And we find the same thing is true in the prophecies of Zechariah, as he was encouraging Zerubbabel and Joshua, the leaders of the building. And he gives the vision that he has of this period of time. And so if you'll read those books, they'll dovetail right here in the fifth chapter, as it tells us that Haggai and Zechariah were prophesying at this particular time. So then rose up Zerubbabel and Joshua, and they began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. So this group of fellows, I mean, they weren't just prophesying. They got in and started doing the work. I like that. I don't have much confidence in a person that just tells me what I ought to be doing if he isn't willing to get in and do it himself. Tell me that I ought to be sacrificing, but they're not willing to sacrifice themselves. You know, there's always those guys tell you what you ought to be doing, but unless they're willing to get in and get their hands dirty and do some of the work themselves, it doesn't really go very far in my book. And Zerubbabel and Joshua were working together, and the other prophets of God were helping them. And at the same time, this governor, Tatnai, came to them, and they said unto them, "Who commanded you to build this house and make up this wall?" That would be the wall of the temple. "And then said we unto them after this manner, what are your names of the men that are working on this project?" I mean, they were trying now by intimidation. "All right, fellas, what's your names? Who gave you the authority? Who commanded you to do this, you know? And give us the names." And they were seeking by intimidation to discourage them and to cause them to quit. But it says, "The eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, and these men could not with their threats cause them to cease until the matter came to Darius. And they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. And the copy of the letter that Tatnai, the governor on the side of the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his companions, which were on that side of the river, sent to Darius the king." This is basically what they wrote. "Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is built with great stones." So here, as it says, great stone, the word great there is rolling. And so they said that they were using these rolling stones. It was built with the rolling stones, and the timber is laid in the walls. And this work is going on fast, and it is prospering in their hands. And so we asked the leaders, and we said to them, "Who commanded you to build this house? What are your names?" In order that we might certify to you and write the names of the men that are the leaders among them. And they answered us, saying, "We are the servants of God, the God of heaven and earth, and we build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and set up." So they didn't tell us their names. They just said they were servants of the God of heaven and earth, and they were just rebuilding this temple that had once existed, built by a great king of Israel.
We'll return with more of our study of Ezra in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues with the decree of Darius. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord give you a great week, watching over you, filling you with His love, guiding you according to His plan. May you experience the work of the Spirit within your heart, deepening your commitment unto Jesus Christ, causing you to have a true perspective of life, helping you to discern between that which is temporal and that which is eternal, in order that you might give yourself over to the things that really count. And thus may God's hand be upon you to guide and to keep and to make it a blessed week for you as you commit yourself to following Jesus Christ.
Breaking Through Young Women's Conference at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.
Peace, be still.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of darkness.
Lay all your worries down.
Hurt, addiction, anorexia.
He brought them out of darkness.
Self-mutilation, homosexuality,
and the shadow of death.
Suicide.
And broke their chains in pieces.
To order the DVD of this conference and to watch a sneak preview online, visit us at thewordfortoday.org or call 1-800-272-WORD. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.